Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. And we're only going to read one verse. Galatians, the 6th chapter, beginning with the first verse of that chapter. Brethren, and that's who he's talking to, brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We want to look at a thought tonight of restoration, or the need in restoring one, like the scripture said, that's been overtaken either in sin or maybe has just cooled off in their experience and they stand in need of help. We first want to mention a few things that pertain to the life of the one that is, amen, that Paul says is to be spiritual. The one that will be doing the restoring. God knows there are ones that need restoring. Constantly, you're going to have that amongst us who have been overtaken, maybe in one way or another. Restoration of a brother or sister overtaken in a fault should have restoration, and it should be done by spiritual brethren. All restoration should be done by spiritual people. It should be done in meekness or gentleness, and one should consider himself. Verse 2, the Apostle Paul says to bear one another's burdens. It means have feelings one for another or consider one another. Looking at the Roman letter, Paul writing to the Romans, he said this in Romans, the 15th chapter, verse number 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. What does it mean ought to bear? It means to endure patiently or to contend with. Not to please ourselves, not to seek our own pleasure at the expense of another, to seek the welfare of others. When ones are first saved, they usually come to Christ with a lot of baggage. We did too. Such as worldliness, habits, bondages, attitudes, bitterness, and the list goes on and on and on. When ones get saved, things, amen, they might have been involved in, amen, they want to continue, amen, to make their hold on the soul, even though Christ has set them free. There's a need of patience. Patience for the saints of God. Amen. As God begins to mold and begins to help the new Christian, many times it's difficult for the saints of God to be patient. Amen. Want them to measure right up to the light that they're already in. We got to go right back and remember how we were. Remember how we were when we come to Christ? Amen. There were things, amen, we were doing the other saints could not do. Amen. But they were patient and how God worked with us and dealt with us. Amen. And service after service and how we begin to mature in the things of God. There's a need of patience on the saints of God. There's been a lot of damage done to the body of Christ because ones get, amen, switched over to the flesh. Moving too quickly, too fleshly, on situations that, amen, the Holy Spirit did not prompt that one. The spiritual ones are those who are motivated and instructed by the Spirit of God. Dear ones, we have a fairly large congregation here. We constantly have got people coming and going. People, amen, maybe getting a little shallow in their experience. People coming in. Saints of God, we can do a lot of damage by trying to, amen, force them over into the light that you and I have got attained to. We must be patient. We must be patient. Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verse number 1, the prophet says this, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you've scattered my flock, driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I'll visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I'll gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I'll set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall no more fear, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Amen. When we're not prompted many times by the Holy Spirit, do you know that we can scatter instead of gather? Amen. Listen to the words of Jesus. St. John, the 10th chapter, verse number 12. But he that is a hireling, not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaving the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. Those who do restoring. Listen to me, church. Those who do the restoring should be clear of themselves with the congregation, with God, and with the pastor. I'm going to repeat it. Those who do restoring, or if you want to use the word counseling, should be clear of themselves with the members of the congregation, with God, and with the pastor of that congregation. If not, they're no business trying to restore or counsel anybody in the congregation. Their hearts should be clear. They shouldn't have an axe to grind or a chip on their shoulders. God's children are peacemakers. What's the Bible say? Matthew 5 and 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We want to look for a while at 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. And we want to go down to verse number 11. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse number 11. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Amen. What is the apostle really saying here? He's saying, who understands? Who perceives the thoughts and understanding of a man except the Spirit that's in the man? Amen. The same is true about God. Who can perceive? And who can understand the thoughts of God except those who have His Spirit? Amen. Let's get some scriptures. Let's prove that thought that he's talking about. Listen to the words of Jesus before Pentecost. Turn with me to John, the 16th chapter, verse number 12, John 16 and 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he'll guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Amen. Show it unto you. When the Spirit of truth or the Holy Spirit is come, he'll reveal to you the things of God that you cannot understand now. Amen. Jesus is saying, you can't understand God and his ways unless you possess the Holy Spirit. John the 16th chapter, verse 12, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. You cannot receive them now. The word amen, bear, means you cannot receive. Why is that? They didn't have the receiver. Many were filled with Jewish prejudices, and they didn't understand the kingdom and how the Holy Spirit is needed, church, to understand God's ways. A couple more scriptures found in Acts, the first chapter, verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, who's speaking? These disciples. What are they asking Jesus? Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not, amen, for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the most part of the earth. Those who have the mind of God are those who are spiritual. Amen. And are, amen. They have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we want to move along in the message and continue. We want to look at the thought, ye who are spiritual. Ye who are spiritual. And there's no better place to look than in the Corinthian letter. Remember Corinth now. There's two books written to Corinth. But Corinth is a large congregation. Diversity. Made up of a lot of pagans. Made up of a lot of seamen. Amen. You might say vile sinners. Amen. Plus mixed in there was proselytes. There was Jews mixed in. A large congregation. And Paul, who was a wise master builder, amen, is attributed to starting that congregation. But he breaks into the third chapter, 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and there was something going on at Corinth, amen, where God was not being glorified at all. Now, Paul couldn't pick up a telephone and call them. He couldn't drive over. So you see in the, amen, they wrote letters. So this is a letter to Corinth. All right, 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And listen to how he addresses these brethren. My brethren, calls them brethren now, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now. Even though you're established, so to speak, you're still not able. for you are yet carnal. What comes out of carnality? For whereas there's among you envy, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? While one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. There was a problem at Corinth, and at the bottom of the problem was a lack of spirituality. Amen. Paul makes that very, very clear. Here in our scriptures, we see a people who had not matured as they ought in the things of God. He said, you are yet carnal. Amen. They were considered fleshly. Paul calls them carnal, or amen, directed by the flesh or the own humanity. Under the influence of fleshly appetites, living after the things of this life. And he spoke to them as babes in Christ. Amen. Where men walk as men, there's always going to be envy, strife, and division. Paul said he fed them with milk. Milk is good for a while. But then there comes a time when Christians need to mature in their experience. Milk is for babies. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse number 2. Peter writes this, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. As a new Christian, as a new child of God, we start our walk with milk. Amen. The sincere milk of the word. Milk is good for a while till you start to grow. And then you need what? Solid food. Turn with me to Hebrews, chapter number 5. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There were at least three things, amen, that people at Corinth were wrong in. They were wrong in their thought. They were wrong in their word. And they were wrong in their deed. They were thinking after the natural man, not the mind of Christ. Their thoughts were wrong, and so was their word. There was envy. There was contention, continually disputing which preacher was, amen, the preacher they was following, or they felt the best, amen. And what did Paul say about them in the first chapter? What did he say? He said in 1 Corinthians 1:11, it had been declared unto you, my brethren, by them which are in the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And I'm telling you, Church of God, carnality will start contentions every single time. And when you get to the bottom of things, there's usually a preacher involved somewhere. Amen. He said he heard from the house of Chloe. No doubt a family he had confidence in at Corinth. Her sons could have been the ones named in 1 Corinthians 16 and 17. when he said, I'm glad that they're coming to Stephanus and Fortunatus and Echius, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them, amen, that are such. Many commentators, I say, believe that these were the sons of Chloe. Finally, this envy and strife among some of the Christians there at Corinth broke out into a division. Now, the division hadn't gotten outside the congregation, but it was festering on the inside. Division always shows a lack in spirituality. Always shows a lack in spirituality. Paul could not speak to them as spiritual. Amen. And that's what happens in divisions. There's a lot of so-called counseling going on. Some is good and some is bad. And divisions, there are always ones who rise to the forefront. There's always a leader somewhere. It may take a while to expose it, but next thing you know, a name is going to surface as a leader. Amen. Who do they pick as a leader? Someone that has clout to them. They have a little clout. Amen. They're supposed to understand everything. But they also have a bad spirit to propagate their agenda. They're not peacemakers like they advocate. And they're always in divisions. People always wind up being the victim. Poor me. Poor me. Always wind up the victim. They're never the problem themselves. Everybody else and everything else is always the problem. At Corinth, glory, which should have been given to God, was going to the preachers. Who was Paul and Apollos? They were preachers who preached unto them the word of life. I read to you, Paul planted, amen, his seed at Corinth. Amen. We can read in 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. According to the grace of God was given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Apollos came after Paul and watered that seed. Amen. It had been sowed by Paul. 1 Corinthians 3 and 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Spiritual people. How do spiritual people look at the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, we're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, you are God's building. Spiritual people feel they do nothing, amen, in ourselves. Amen. We labor together in the work God has called us to do. When members of a congregation get too big in their own selves, there's going to be strife, contention, and division. It shows a lack of spirituality. I want to read a few verses in Romans, the 12th chapter. Turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. And we're going to start in with verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. This morning in Sunday school, amen, teaching on discipleship, amen, Brother Jeremy brought forth an outstanding thought. The first thing on discipleship is humility. Humility. staying humble. Amen. Staying humble. What did he say? That he ought not to think, amen, more highly than he ought to. But think soberly. Why? God has dealt every man. That measure of faith you've got, God gave it to you. Well, let's drop down to verse number 9, that same chapter. Jump from 3 down to 9. Let love be without dissimulation, hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave or cling to that which is good. Now listen to what he says. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, not just lip service, brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend them in a low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. What did he say in verse 21? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What's Paul saying? Everyone should operate in the measure of grace that God gives you and in the place that God has put you. You only receive grace for the gift given unto you. Romans 12 and 6, having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. God put you in the body where you can operate that gift. The gift that God has given you. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. And that's where you receive grace. If you stay, amen, where God places us. Amen. When ones get out of the place where God placed them, there's going to be envy and strife and division because people don't have the grace. They don't have the grace to draw on like they would if they were in the will of God. The devil tries to work in every phase of the body of Christ. He'll have saints competing one against another. What do you mean? Who can sing the best? Who can testify the best? Preach the best. All that is a sign of carnality. We're not in preaching contests. And when we get up here to sing, we're not up here to see who can entertain the best. Church of God singing is not entertainment. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Colossians, the third chapter, verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong, amen, which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. Those who are spiritual will keep out of envy. They'll stay out of strife. They'll stay out of contentions within the congregation. They'll do all that is possible to live peaceably with all men. As we begin to close the message tonight, there are at least two restorations in the Bible that really stand out to me. How Jesus restored Peter. Wonderful. Wonderful. And how Barnabas worked with John Mark. Where would those two brethren be if Jesus hadn't reached out? And if Barnabas hadn't reached out to John Mark. John Mark, for whatever reason, amen, on the missionary journey, amen, he left. What was his reason? Could be because he felt he was, maybe because of his youth, maybe he was afraid, maybe he missed home. I don't know what the reason was. It caused a little debate between Paul and amen, and Barnabas. But Barnabas took him. And what did he do with him? He made him a valuable asset to the kingdom of God. Both of these brethren, Peter, John Mark, both of them could have went another direction if it hadn't been for Jesus and for Barnabas. Restore them. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. Who to? All men. Apt to teach. Patient. Titus, the third chapter, verse number 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Restoration, church, it's a very serious thing to be involved in. Amen. And it's necessary that those who do the restoring or the counseling be spiritual. Amen. Why? Because a soul can be lost. A soul can become more discouraged. A soul can become more depressed by the ones who restore if they're not spiritual themselves and give them the wrong counsel. And what do? We have to consider ourselves. What do you mean? How would you like somebody to restore you? When you've gotten away from the Lord, most everybody I know of in their experience at one time or another has probably slipped and fell. How did Jesus work with you? How did he restore you? That's how we are to restore one another. Amen. Gentle, kindness, considering ourselves. How would we want someone to deal with us? I think most all of us, at one time or another, have probably had a shortcoming in our life that troubled us immensely. And we've either sought counsel through the pastor or maybe just went to an altar of prayer. Amen. And the counsel you received was counsel that what? Put you back on your feet again and got you going again. We have a lot of people in this congregation. There's people that maybe are weaker than others. They struggle more than others. We need to be careful and patient. Maybe they don't measure up as we think they should measure up. You cannot bring them into our light. You got to bring them into the light they received themselves. Patience. Ye that are spiritual, restore one, what, and the meekness. Be gentle. Be patient. Be patient. And that's not the easiest thing to do. Sometimes when somebody comes in, especially if you help getting them saved or help getting them to the church, you want to see them measure up 100% right now. Bam! It's not always going to work that way. Remember what they're bringing with them. Maybe they're bringing some things that they had to deal with. I'm repeating some of this. Maybe they had an attitude. Maybe they had bitterness. Maybe they just come out of a divorce. Or maybe they got a financial strain. Who knows what the baggage is? We need to be patient. Patient. Amen. And that ye that are spiritual, make sure of this. Whenever you counsel somebody, you're spiritual yourself. Ye that are spiritual are the ones to do the restoring or the counseling. Amen.